shall we read in the last book in the Bible, if you have a testament with you, the book of the Revelation, chapter 3. The book of the Revelation, chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. Read the verse again. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. Now the second reading, the words of the Savior again, spoken before he went to Calvary. These words were spoken after Calvary when he had gone home to heaven. But let us read in Luke chapter 13. Verse 23. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, Strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up, and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. Now there is one thing that we are always confident about, and that is that God will bless the reading of His divine truth. And especially tonight, we believe that the words will be blessed because they are the actual words of the Savior Himself. Revelation 3 and verse 20, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, after He had died and was risen again and gone back into heaven, He uttered this tremendous word, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. The Savior of the world standing at the sinner's door. That's how I'm going to preach that tonight. I make no apologies for its contextual bearing. I'm going to apply it, as I have done now for over 40 years, to the unsaved that may be here. The Savior standing at the heart's door, at the sinner's door. In Luke 13, we have the very opposite of Revelation 3:20. And there I read those words, when once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without at the door and knock, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us, and he from within shall answer, Depart from me, I never knew you. Here we have the sinner standing at the Savior's door when it is too late. So here we have two very solemn and simple things everyone could follow here tonight. First of all, the Savior at the sinner's door, knocking, calling for admission. And then, in eternity, the sinner who kept Christ out of his life and failed to receive him as his personal Savior is seen standing outside the Savior's door, knocking. But it is too late. And the Savior says, "Depart from me. I never knew you." And we read those terrible words. I couldn't explain them fully. "There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see others entering in, ye yourselves thrust out." Now this word in Revelation 3 and verse 20 is one of the most tender, touching, timely, and yet tragic verses in our Bible. The presentation of the Lord Jesus, after he had gone back to heaven and had sat down at the right hand of the Majesty above, he is speaking from heaven to these Laodiceans, and he's speaking from heaven to you in this tent tonight. And we have this very tender, pathetic utterance of our Lord Jesus Christ. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, will sup with him, and he with me." Now I'm going to say a few very plain things here about this Savior standing at the door. And the first one is evident. Who at the door is standing? I think there's an old hymn that goes like that. "Who at my door is standing, waiting to enter in." We never know sometimes who is at our door. I have found that along life's journey, that I have heard afterwards of very important people and notable figures that attended the preaching of the gospel and that were standing at our door listening to the word of God. We never know who is standing at our door. I was thinking just today of Mendelssohn, the great musician. He went, when he was in Germany on one occasion, to find the great Friedberg organ. And when he got to the cathedral where it was, the door was shut. And the old custodian at the door, he said, "I'm sorry, sir, 5 o'clock is closing time." But the great musician said, "I must see that organ. I have come many miles to see it." The custodian said, "I'm sorry, the door is shut." But Mendelssohn pushed his way in. And he went forward to the organ and he looked at it. And the custodian said, "You mustn't touch that organ. No one is allowed to play on that organ." The great musician sat down and began to play. And the old custodian, as he listened to the music, the charm of it, the beauty of the touch, and the ability of Mendelssohn, he said, "Sir, who are you?" He said, "My name is Mendelssohn." The old custodian said, "And to think that I kept you outside the door. Who at my door is standing?" If sinners in this meeting could recognize the greatness of the one that desires to be your own personal Savior, to save you from a life of sin, to give you peace in this life, and peace at the end of life when the end is drawing near. We used to sing, "Is there anyone to help us when the end is drawing near? Who will go through death's dark waters by our side, and will part the way before us, and will calm each rising fear, and will bear my spirit safely o'er the tide?" Yes, there's one. There's only one. the blessed, blessed Savior. He's the one. He's standing at the door tonight. Isn't it sad that people don't recognize His voice? And they have no desire for His person. The multitudes are saying, away with this man, keeping him out of their life, and refusing the claims of God and the presentation of the Savior. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. In the Song of Solomon, one of the most beautiful of all the poetic books in the Bible, from which these words seem to be an echo, we remember that one is standing at the door, knocking. And as he knocked, he said, "My head is filled with the dew, and my locks with the drops of the night." The Savior at the door, the one who was the homeless stranger in Galilee, the man of sorrows, the eternal Creator of all things. Isn't it marvelous that the Creator of the world would come into our world and be born of a virgin, to be found lying in a manger dark and bare by lowly shepherds? Why did He come? He came to die for men and women and boys and girls. The gospel is plain. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures and was buried in the borrowed tomb of Joseph the Counselor. But He rose again. The stone is gone. The tomb is empty. And He ascended to heaven itself. And here in resurrection and in glory He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Who is at your door tonight? It's not religion that's knocking. It's not an ordinance that's knocking. It's not a creed that's knocking. But salvation is a living person. There is a real person in this tent tonight, as real as any of us here. He is in the midst of the company, listening to all that I will say, poor though it may be. And angels are here in this very tent. They cannot preach, but they wait to hear the outcome of the message. I know that some don't like the hymnology of the old hymn, but I've always used and sang it all my days, and I likely finish that way. Let the angels bear the tidings upward to the courts in heaven. Let them sing with holy rapture o'er another soul forgiven. We have invisible friends here tonight, and the Holy Spirit is here. Apart from the Holy Spirit, no one here will ever be concerned. All our preaching will fall to the ground, except God will move upon your heart. The Holy Spirit is here, and God is here in that to bless us with the Spirit's quickening power. See the cloud already bending, waits to drop its precious shower. Well might the believers say, "Let it come, O Lord, we pray Thee. Let the showers of blessing fall. We are waiting and expecting, O revive the hearts of all." But the Savior is here, standing outside the door of every man and every woman here and every boy and girl. "Behold, I stand at the door." Now this matter of being saved is not something that is done in the company of multitudes. As far as other programs are concerned, people can sign up by the thousands. But when it comes to this matter of being saved, it's between you and the Lord. It's the most personal matter that you will ever face in this life. Every single man and woman here has a door. Every single person here has one little life to live and one soul to be saved and eternity to face. Every one of us have got to leave this world either by death or by the rapture. Friend of mine, how will you face eternity? Are you ready tonight to meet God? There's only two places on the other side. A glorious home where sorrow will never come. No home on earth is like it, nor can with it compare. For everyone is happy, nor could be happier there. And they have no need of the candle by night, nor of the sun by day. For the Lamb is the light of it, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Heaven is the home of those who are redeemed by precious blood of worth untold. Tell me, are you going to heaven tonight? Or are you going to hell? I speak tenderly at this time because there is a real hell of fire. There is a hell of darkness. There is a world of despair. There is a gulf that is fixed. Cross that gulf, none can ever be. And when death has come and the life is over, and the last day has come, and this congregation will be gone forever, and I may never see you again likely, I believe we'll never meet in the same way again as we're met tonight. I told you the other night, this is the 59th tent that I have operated and preached in my lifetime. I'll certainly not be in 59 more. The most of it is now behind. And many thousands that heard it in these tents are in eternity tonight, never to come back anymore. I hope I'll meet them in heaven. When the journey's done, that's our business here tonight. Heaven or hell, when the life is over, young man, let me ask you, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, where are you going to tonight? For you'll soon be there. The only thing that really matters when the end comes is not how well you've got on here, what wealth you've accumulated, what popularity, what place you've had on earth. The only thing that matters is this. Where will you spend eternity when the journey's done? Going to be heaven with the Lord Jesus. Or hell, where there'll never be a ray of hope. Where it's night and darkness lost. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. But tonight he's standing at the door. There's no need that you would perish. I can tell you on the authority of this, old book that God is not willing that one man in this tent or outside it, that one person here in this meeting tonight or any other meeting would leave this world without a Savior. For God so loved the world, a world that was lost. A world of men, out there is a world. And in that world, every ethnic group, every color, creed, and class, condition. And as God looks upon it, there's not a man on the way to ruin tonight. But God desireth his salvation. Oh, what a God we have. A God of infinite compassion. A God of tender love and grace. Who gave his only son, he had only the one. In order to our redemption, he sent him from the ivory palaces. He sent him down to be a Galilean peasant, to work with his hands beside a carpenter, the one that moved beside God from all eternity, stands in a Galilean carpenter's shop beside a Joseph. And the shadow of Calvary ever before him, where he died an atoning death and gave up his life's blood for our redemption. Oh, what a Savior he is, and God wants you to have him tonight. Behold, I stand at the door. What's the door? The door is simply every individual person here, every single man. And the Savior draws near. He draws near when the gospel is preached. The most of us were saved as a result of listening to a simple evangelistic, an earnest evangelistic message. Savior at the door tonight. Now let me look at this for a moment. Who's at the door? The Savior. What's the door? The sinner. In this tent tonight, young or old, rich or poor, the Savior is there. But notice he's standing. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Tells us of his patience. He has waited from childhood. For some of you here, he has been at that door since you were a boy in the Sunday school. It's amazing how many people that I meet with that one would think had no background whatsoever. Businessmen, politicians, all kinds of professional men that I've spoken to in my life, and I thought they had no background. And by it came out that their mother was a Christian, that their old grandmother that came from Ireland or Scotland or England or Germany, that she was a Christian. And these hymns we've been singing, the reason I sang these hymns tonight is this. It brings back the memory of the gospel that some of you heard in childhood's tender years. A businessman said to me the other day in this very city, one of the best known businessmen in it likely, if I were to name him, he said, "What kind of hymns do you sing in the tent?" I said, "We sing Just As I Am Without One Plea." And we sing, "Lord, I'm coming home." And we sing, "What can wash away my stain?" He said, "These are the hymns they sang that I heard them sing 50 years ago." So I was able to invite him to the tent and he promised to come. There's a background. Maybe you're here tonight and he has been standing at the door in the Sunday school. He is standing at the door all your life long, waiting patiently. How long would I stand at your door if you wouldn't open? There's nothing so frustrating as to go to a house and to stand at the door and knock and to see behind the curtains someone looking and to knock again and to wait and stand, and they know we're there, but they don't want to come. And we turn away disappointed. How long would I stay at your door if you wouldn't open it? Young man, he's waited long, is waiting still at the door tonight in another gospel meeting. A few nights from now, this tent will be wrapped up. This place that knows us now will know us no more forever. He's waiting now. This is your golden opportunity to have this matter settled and put beyond all doubt. The Savior is at the door standing. But he's doing something else. He's knocking. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. What is this knocking? It's to draw attention to the fact that he is there to be your Savior. He knocks when sorrow enters into our lives. Many people never hear the voice of God until sorrow and tragedy comes into their home. Until they look down into the face of an infant that God has taken away. It makes people think. And that's a tragedy when an infant is taken away. I got a phone call some years ago to come with all haste to a farm in the country. And when I got there, the man and his wife were in absolute despair. And when I went in, their lovely boy of 4, curly-haired boy, was lying on the couch. And I knew when I looked at him that he was gone. Gone. He had been out in the barn playing, and the rope that he was hanging and playing with somehow got entangled around his throat. and he was strangled in his father's barn. And they carried the little body in, gave him resuscitation. It was too late. And when I went down the road and saw them standing, pathetic, tears filled my own eyes, I looked at that. But there was a joy in it that the boy was with Christ. We believe that every infant that is taken away like that is sheltered in that blood of the everlasting covenant of our Lord Jesus Christ. But here's the father and mother. What are you going to say? Touch. You know, tragedy touches people. Sorrow touches people. Death is a reality when we stand and look at our loved one and we realize the voice will be heard no more and the place is empty. And many of you will go home tonight and you will think about that there's an empty seat and a loved one is gone and God has spoken. He's standing at the door and he knocks. He also knocks by calamities in the community. And every week here in British Columbia, there are calamities, suicides, murders, accidents along the highways. I was at a corner the other day in this city where a young woman was killed a few days ago. It's happening all the time. And you're here tonight, and God has preserved you. That's a marvelous thing, that we've been preserved so long along the way. Some of you were almost in eternity. And as you lay in hospital, it was thought that all hope was gone, you would ever make it. God raised you up. And tonight, he has brought you under this gospel roof. I don't know why you've come. Some have seen it as they passed in the sky train, like a young couple from Australia the other night that I spoke to, that had seen it as they passed by to Expo and they came to here. And others that saw the cars coming in and they wanted to hear what it was all about. I don't know why you've come here tonight. Only God could bring you here. His eye is upon you. He's knocking. He knocks by tragedy. He's knocking today as we think of the world situation. A young man rang me up not long ago and he said, the condition of things in the Middle East seems to say that Christ is coming soon. He was thinking for eternity. The end is coming. This may be the last tent that will ever be pitched on this ground or any other ground here, because the coming of the Lord the second time is very near. I don't know what may take place this evening. The world is being prepared for Antichrist. He may be already in the world. For aught I know, the Antichrist may be born and living tonight. The world is ripening for terrible days ahead. The Holocaust is before us. I stood in the Valley of Megiddo some time ago and looked out over that great plain of Armageddon and thought of a day when blood will flow, when the armies of the world will march again into Israel. Everything is being made ready for that great Holocaust. Armageddon is ahead of us, and the judgment day is coming, and it's time to be saved. Tomorrow may not be. Time is quickly drawing to a close. It's 5 minutes to midnight on the clock tonight, and the Lord is coming. What if this were the last night you would ever hear the call? What if tomorrow night the tent were empty and the gospel was heard no more at all in thee and Christ no longer at the door and the day of mercy passed? He's knocking in this closing day. He knocks gently, gently knocking. I think the gentle knock It's when He turns our thoughts to His love. Those loud knocks are to awaken us, everyone, to see the reality of living and the certainty of dying and the importance of having the sin question settled. But there are other knocks that are gentle. At the door, the hand is pierced that knocks. He pleads by the love that brought Him from the sky. Was there ever love like His? The love that led the Lord Jesus to come down into this poor world to be a homeless stranger, to have no place to lay His head. The foxes have holes and the birds of the herb nest. The Son of Man hath not where to lay His head. When we think of Him hungry and weary with His journey and the sorrows of His life and the poverty and the misunderstanding, the vile abuse He received from men, the Bible says He came unto His own and His own received Him not. Isaiah 53, He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He went all the way to Calvary. No one ever suffered so much as the Savior of the world. He bears the sweetest name that angels have ever heard. He bears the sweetest name that ever fell on mortal ears. The Lord Jesus, the Savior of men, thou shalt call His name Jesus, Jehovah the Savior, for He shall save His people from their sin. There was no one ever had a tender heart like the Savior. No one ever had such love and grace as the Savior. And after men had lacerated Him with scourges, marred His countenance with the rod, crowned Him with a crown of thorns that cruelly pierced His brow, spat in His lovely face, you have never been spat upon, and I have never been spat upon. It's an awful thing to be spat upon. And the spitting was the foul spitting of those evil soldiers, as they mocked Him and spat in His lovely face, and the tears were mingled with the spitting. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? How greatly Jesus must have loved us to go forth bearing a tree of shame to Calvary, and to stand patiently waiting until the pierced His hands and feet with the cruel irons and lifted Him up until His bones were out of joint and the blood running down His marred yet lovely countenance. The only sinless one that ever was here. Why was He there? He was there to die in our guilty place. He was there to bear the judgment that was our due. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. One of the loveliest hymns that we sing, the author was Philip Paul Bliss. I love to sing it. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned He stood, sealed my pardon with His blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. In Sydney, one night we sang that hymn, and I passed the same remark that Philip Paul Bliss, I admired his writings, knew his gospel hymns, and when it was over, an old woman there, 86 years of age, came to me at the end. And she said, I was touched tonight because I'm the last surviving member of the Bliss family. I'm Philip Paul Bliss's granddaughter. And we went outside that tent that night and sang beneath the palm trees, bearing shame and scoffing Ruth. In my place, condemned he stood. It's a wonderful thing to realize that Christ died for the world, that the world could be saved, but the world is not saved. It's a wonderful thing to realize he gave himself for the church, Ephesians 5. But oh, tonight, every one of us here going to heaven, we remember the day we realize the Son of God loved me as an individual. I was the sinner, as if there was no other one. And yonder at Calvary, he became answerable to God on my account, and he gave himself for me. Let me preach this substitutionary atoning work of Christ tonight to your heart. Young man, this is how you will be saved. No water can save you, no rite or ceremony, no religion, no creed on earth. We are not interested in building up a denomination on earth. At this moment I can say I have one interest in my life right now, and that is to win a soul to the man of sorrows, that you might not perish when time shall be no more. How can you be saved tonight? Listen, Christ died for the ungodly, Romans 5 and 6, that on that middle cross between the robbers there, the Savior died for me. You want to get to heaven, you take it then that he was there for me, whoever I may be, in my place, dying for me on that cruel cross, as if I were the only one that ever lived. He knew your name. He had you in mind. As he went up to Calvary burdened with a load of guilt, he thought about individuals. I believe with all my heart that my worthless name was before that blessed one who died that I might live. And I believed it. As a boy of 19, I bowed at Calvary one night, and I believed that the Lord Jesus died that I might be saved. And I believed it for myself. And that's what I believe right now. My hope of heaven lies there. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Calvary is the great appeal of the gospel. If the love that the Savior had doesn't win your heart, you will never be saved. If Calvary is no appeal to your heart, you will never be reached. Every one of us saved, we were one to a man that we have never seen. Being saved is the winning of the heart to that man that fills heaven with infinite pleasure, whose glories are untold, whose name is altogether wonderful, and who is altogether lovely in his person. What a wonderful Savior he is. The love that Jesus had for me to suffer on that cruel tree, that I ransomed soul might be, it's more than tongue can tell. Friend of mine, why don't you open the heart tonight? Why don't you bow at Calvary before you lie down in your bed tonight? Some of you have been coming here every night. It's impossible for me to be in touch with you. Why don't you come tonight, whoever you may be, and take the sinner's place? And kneel down at the cross and believe for yourself that on that tree the Savior of the world died that I might be forgiven. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, waiting. If any man hear my voice, Holman Hunt painted that beautiful picture of the Savior at the door. I stood and looked at it one day, greatly touched. And I remember that an old preacher that's gone that I used to listen to, Mr. Harold St. John, And I heard him tell of the first time he stood and looked at that painting. And the custodian said to them, the original of this painting was sold for £25,000. And Mr. St. John said, ladies and gentlemen, the original was sold for 30 pieces of silver. The trade. The great thing about that painting, and I don't like paintings of the Savior, is this. That door at which he stands and his ear seems to be lent to the door to listen, would there be any movement? Someone said to Mr. Hunt, you've made a mistake. There's no latch on the door. There's no handle on the door. There's no way to open the door from the outside. And he said, no, he said, all the locks and the bars are on the inside. As far as the Lord is concerned, he has removed every difficulty in reaching you with salvation. At Calvary, he opened the door that you might be saved. But your door is closed tonight. In many ways, people have closed the door against the Savior. There are things in your life that hinder you from coming to Christ. And if you're going to be saved, you've got to turn from every hindering element and receive Him, your personal Savior. Now, when should I open the door? When should I trust Him tonight? Now is the time. Why? I read this solemn verse. When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door, his door is open tonight. All are welcome to enter. But one day, his door for you will be closed. Could be closed tonight if death would come. How do I know someone here may be in the last gospel meeting? There's a tragedy ahead this week for multitudes. It could be you. And I want to speak plainly tonight, if death should come your way, the solemn reaper were to reach you this week and take some of you into eternity, that door would be shut. There are millions in hell tonight that cry for mercy, but the door is shut. Some have gone down to hell today, and they will never be saved. They're spending their first moments beyond all hope. It's a dreadful thought to think about. We don't like to think about it. But there are multitudes this beautiful summer night that have lost all hope and have reached the lowest rung in the ladder of misery. And they're lifting their eyes in that place where mercy will never come. They can't even have a drop of water to cool their tongue. Lost. Oh, I pray God that no one here will ever be lost. Hardly likely that you will all be saved. So many unsaved here tonight, it's hardly likely you will all obtain salvation that are listening tonight. Possible someone here will never be saved. Man, tonight wouldn't it be awful if you were lost? To perish. Life is so brief. It's only a few years we spend here. It passes so quickly. When I look back on the 41 years that I've been preaching the gospel, I can hardly believe it. It'll soon be over. Then eternity and home and heaven with Christ forever. One little life. And then the ages that will never end. And only what we do for Christ will really mean anything at the end. But think of a young life snuffed out. Think of young men tonight dying in their sins as a tragedy. Think of people going down after living 20 years, 30 years on earth, and going down for all eternity. Oh, they're drifting tonight. Someone is drifting here to eternity without a Savior. We would throw out the lifeline tonight
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Don't miss heaven when the journey's done, whoever you may be.
Door was shut. For multitudes tonight, the door is shut. The harvest is past, and the summer is ended, and they will never be saved. The Lord may come tonight, and if the Lord comes, the door will be shut. And many will stand outside and say, Lord, Lord, open unto us. He from within shall say, I know you not. He's knocking at your door tonight to be the Savior. Tomorrow you could be knocking at His, and His door will be shut. Oh, can you not see tonight? I cannot make you believe it. Can you not see that this is for eternity, this matter of being saved? May God write it upon your heart that before you sleep tonight on your bed, you may turn from your sins in true repentance. Bow at Calvary as a guilty sinner and believe the grand old words, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God grant it in the name of our Lord Jesus, shall we pray. Father, we do trust that Thy word may reach every heart here. Those of us who are saved, that we may consider the seriousness of living again and be glad and thankful that our name is written in heaven, that ever we got our eyes open to see our need and came to Calvary to behold the Lamb of God taking away our sin and guilt. Oh, what a wonderful day that was, day that we shall never forget, when the anchor found the solid rock, and when we rested on Christ and upon His precious blood, and found that living, glorious Savior to be a reality, the sinner's friend. But in our gathering, many, many sinners tonight, unsaved, some of them far away from God, some of them careless and indifferent. Only God can awaken them. Others are almost persuaded to become a Christian. Some are feeling the weight of the Word and recognizing that God is calling me from my sins in this tent to repent and to turn to the loving Savior who died, and to know with the Christians that all is well for eternity. Father, bless Thy holy, precious word, we pray. Part this large company with Thy blessing. Preserve each car as it moves out, and the little ones that are around our feet, these children that sit around us here, all of them for eternity. Save the boys and girls here, and the young people and young men that have come almost every night. Oh God, we give Thee the praise and glory for what Thou hast done, and we look to Thee to save others. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.